Ryan talked about the kicking changes being performance-based. What about Robbie's performance left you unsatisfied?
Yeah, here's what I'd say. For me to talk about player transactions, when the GM and the head coach have kind of addressed it with you guys, I'm going to leave it with their comments. What I would say is, as far as the stuff that goes along with Robbie, heck of a career to do what he did in this city for that long. I mean, that's an amazing deal. I mean, it's not just about his consistently for so long. It was about the location he's kicking in and in this division. A lot of tough kicks, and respect what he did, and but at this point, when decision makers have made those decisions, we just go forward.
How many adjustments or changes will there be in the kicking game? The kickoffs, is he different with Connor? How many changes or what does he have to adapt to different
systems that you have? There's not that big of a change. Both of those guys can directional kick. There's some things that we had worked through in the spring and in the summer that we've got to reacclimate ourselves with Connor and teach him kind of what we're trying to get accomplished. Those types of things may or may not be seen in the first week of the season. We're going to try and marry the things that he's done and marry the things that we're comfortable with in terms of the in terms of what we'll do against Houston.
How much with the personnel changes that go into the cuts affect you? And obviously, you're a voice in the room with some of those cuts.
Right.
Special teams affect that.
Yeah.
How much upheaval in your unit?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Voice in the room, and there's always. With all the different transactions, I was talking to Joey Lane, just trying to figure out, I think we made 44 transactions in 3 days, and that's a ton. And there's a lot of things that go into it, both guys incoming and exiting, and there's always adjustments. That's the life of a special teams coach in this league, and that's something that you try and say, okay, here's kind of what this guy brings to the table. Here's his strengths. If we go in this direction, here's that guy's strengths. And then there's a second conversation that happens and says, okay, who's getting a jersey versus Houston? You know, there may be somebody that you're trying to make a decision on, and if that guy is going to be inactive, there's not much of a conversation there. So you try and express all those things to the guys who are going to ultimately make those decisions, and then when the dust settles, you see who you got and try and do the best you can with that.
So with the game day active discussion, mm-hmm. Does it help you to have 27 defensive guys on the roster right now?
It can, but you don't know what it's going to be at the 46. I mean, right now, is that we have 27 defense, so make 23 offense. So if four guys are inactive defensively, or five guys and two offense, maybe that number balances back out. I wouldn't say that necessarily helps. It just depends on who those guys are, what their roles are offensively and defensively, and how much can we rely on them to participate and play effectively in the kicking game.
To take it a step further, Keith Macho, Christian Jones, five safeties, so Krasinski and those two young safeties, do you feel like that will help you cover kicks because of those, that type of guy?
Yeah. Generally speaking, in terms of the coverage units, defensive players are better tacklers than offensive players. If it's the other way around, you're probably turning the ball over a ton. Those guys don't get a whole lot of reps, that stuff. So you're trying to find balance within your roster for the offensive guys as well. But it just depends on who those guys are. A lot of the names that you just mentioned will be guys that we relied on heavily a year ago, and we anticipate contributing this year.
Go ahead. Hey,
hold on. She's gone like three times.
How difficult is it for you to get results when you have such upheaval?
Well, I think, again, you know this going into the season that there's a lot of possibilities and then you add injuries to the mix and there are surprises along the way and you're hoping your younger players develop fast because you're going to be counting on them in a hurry. I like the fact that we have four preseason games to get looks at guys, and there was a couple of games where there's a rookie who missed this game but maybe played in that game and it's expected, to be honest with you. And, it makes things more challenging. But when guys were down or injured, you got to look at some other guys. And, that may have helped you make a different decision. Go ahead.
When you consider the consistency of Robert Sadler's success over his career, how much of a difference does it make when you change snappers, you change holders, and that kind of thing? Is that also something that you thought was part of the mix?
Yeah, I think that is a... I think that's an operation. I think all three guys play into that equation. Certainly if the snap and the hold were constant all the time, i.e. if a guy's just kicking off a tee, then there's only one guy into that equation, right? That's here. Now you add those elements. There's a timing element to it. It takes some time to get used to that operation, and you try and give guys enough reps to where they're used to it regardless of who's in there. But there is a little bit of disruption and timing where, like this week, we're having to get a new kicker involved with a new holder and a new snapper. So those guys are working hard at that.
In that regard, too, in terms of special teams, what can we expect out of return game, and the kickoffs?
Hopefully positive yardage, ball security. I think the last couple of weeks, Deontay's been down. And we're taking a look at some younger guys in the preseason. Felt like we knew who some of the veteran guys were, what they can bring to the table. Those guys were all repping in practice. That stuff will settle down now that we're in the regular season. Depending on what the matchups are, and part of what you're doing, you're evaluating some players, but when you get into the regular season, you can be limited to what you do. I'm talking about punt return wise. If it's always fourth and one, you're probably not double vicing the gunner a whole bunch. If it's fourth and 17, you may be able to get into some return type schematic things. So as the game plays out, we're ready for everything, and we'll see kind of how that goes.
Jeff, when we talked to you last, you mentioned the infusion of young defensive draft picks as far as helping special teams. But I'm curious if, how important was it to you that some of the veterans, McManus, Przinski, some of the guys who actually have done special teams before were kept on the roster, and how important is that to have that dynamic of productive players?
Well, I think, as I mentioned earlier, it's expected that you're going to have to depend on your younger players. It's expected that you're going to have to develop those guys and get them up to speed in a hurry. There's more guys who are here week one this year who we're expecting to contribute who were here a year ago and have played in similar roles, okay, if not identical roles. And where that helps is a veteran player can advise a younger player in a way that, hey, this is how we're doing this, and they're confident with that. Because the reality is, in that locker room, players are going to lean on other players. And they may ask other players different questions than they may ask a coach, and that's fine. And that's the way this league should be. And I think that having more veteran players can allow those younger guys to develop quicker because they're able to lean on them a little bit.
One other thing, though, Kwiatkowski, from a defensive standpoint, seems like he'd be a game day inactive. On the other hand, his record also shows that he might be a really good special teams player. I don't know if you've seen enough from him, but what is his status as far as what he can do for you, for your unit, as far as getting out of field?
Yeah, we'll find out at 10:30 on Sunday. 90 minutes before the game is when we have to turn that inactive list. I mean, there's things that he did in practice. There's things he did in the spring. There's obviously traits and skills that he has, which the decision makers felt like he was worthy of a draft pick where he was drafted. In terms of what he can do on game day, we're going to find out at some point.
Jeff, even though Eddie did a lot in his career, less so in the last couple of years with only a handful of returns, is there a rust factor he needs to knock off a little bit before getting back in there in a game situation?
I hope not. Generally speaking, with guys who have his return history, it's like riding a bike. In 2011, Eddie had not been our punt returner when we were in Denver, and Quan Cosby was a guy that we had signed. And in the middle of the Oakland game, it was his first return in maybe 10 weeks or whatever, and he goes to the house with it. So there's guys with that factor, guys with that history. And to answer your question, sure. I mean, he hasn't been in the environment where guys are running at him, full speed and all those things more recently as he had in his past. But we're hopeful that, again, he's the same guy with the ball in his hands that he is on offense, and that's a productive player to have.
Jeff, you look at Connor, and he's on his sixth team in the league now. what gives you the faith that, that he's going to stick here and he's going to take off? You know, what do you like about him?
Connor's been a really good field goal kicker throughout his career. His deal in Tampa stopped because he got injured, and they moved on after that year. The guy who replaced him, he left, and you know we acquired him in Denver. He did a good job for us. Lost the camp battle, Brandon McManus. Went back to Tampa after they had some issues and did a solid job in Tampa as well, and made kicks in New Orleans. So, you know, his history says that he's an accurate field goal guy. His history says that, you know, he's kicked in a lot of different places. He's been in this situation where he's come in week one of his week one and performed a couple different mid-season, you know, mid-season, hey, you know, he's now the guy. He's performed well under that, and we're hopeful that we can do a good job supporting him in all those different roles to have that continue.
What about kickoffs for him?
Yeah, I mean, his kickoff numbers, yeah, he didn't kick off in Tampa initially. They had Michael Kanin, who was their punter, was there initially their kickoff guy. And then last year when he returned to Tampa, he did kick off, and he's actually kicking off better now the last year and this year than he did earlier on in his career. So we're excited about that.